Okay, thank you. Next matter is Ramos Azevedo da Silva versus Attorney General.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
Please the court. I am Thomas Griffin. I represent the petitioner, Ludmila Ramos da Silva.
And I speak up a little bit, all right?
I've reserved 3 minutes. I've asked for a rebuttal. I think what the Board of Immigration Appeals gave us in this case was a results-oriented decision, but it failed to give us an understanding of the case, of the situation under VAWA and the forgiveness provision. And I think probably their main reason, and I haven't argued before, neither party has, is that they misinterpreted the statute. The statute says...
Well, if you haven't argued it before, was this presented to the BIA or the IJ? What you're about to argue?
Well, no, this is in the arguments over ambiguity that weren't brought up until this court. Was in just looking at the statute this morning, it says that the forgiveness can happen if the AG finds that the act or conviction was connected to the aliens having been battered or subjected to extreme cruelty.
By a U.S. citizen.
It's the battering and the cruelty that has to be connected to her bad act, and in this case, the punching in the nose. And what the BIA did is try to connect the batterer to the event. So it's the suffering, it's the cruelty, it's what I had raised in my letter brief in the Ninth Circuit's Fernandez case, where they very succinctly set out that women in abusive relationships have a constellation of behaviors and psychic sort of injuries and trauma that most people don't understand. Or the layperson doesn't
pretty
understand.
Basic to me, I'm not sure. I guess you can misunderstand it, but how, no matter what definition of connected to one looks at, it's hard for me to understand how the punch in the nose was not connected to the underlying abuse and was driven by it.
Obviously, I completely agree, Your Honor. But I think what the BIA did, if we could sort of maybe forgive them a little bit, is they tried to connect the man when the statute says, very specifically, it's the cruelty. It's what happens to her in the event that makes her, causes problems. For example, an abusive husband or batterer could have abandoned her and took off, and she had to steal bread.
What we need to look at is connected to, and is that ambiguous or not ambiguous?
Well, it's not ambiguous in the least, and I think what the BIA was just trying to connect the man rather than connect the syndrome of problems.
Why worry about that when you can simply argue that the phrase is not ambiguous?
I have argued that from the very beginning.
Well, I think I'd like to hear that argument.
Connected to is, I think we all know what connected to means, as Your Honor, Judge McKee just said. I mean, from childhood, we say the shin bone's connected to the knee bone. We know what it means. The shin bone may not be connected to the head bone, but this case, I think a good lawyer could probably connect the two. But the shin bone isn't connected to Your Honor's shin bone. There is a limit.
Wait.
There is a limit.
You don't know me that well.
I think what the government had said...
You don't have to get that esoteric here, as Judge Boss said. It's not connected
to... What the government had said is that there needs to be limits, and this is an indeterminate definition. But there are limits. You can only go so far, and things become disconnected. And this is a very connected case.
Well, the IJ specifically said that it was the result of her anger toward her husband's infidelity, and concluded that because of his infidelity, she was the victim of extreme cruelty. So it seems the IJ did connect it, but then it wanted to throw in the encouragement and the inducement.
I obviously think there's as connected as could be, a cause and effect, any way you want to look at it. And what they did was and said, we find it's not connected. And they didn't say it's ambiguous. They said it's not connected because he didn't encourage it. Again, he didn't compel her to do it. He didn't coerce her to do it. She did not do it on behalf of him. And she didn't ask for him to do it. Those were the redefinitions that the Board of Immigration Appeals used to define connected without saying so. They said
to me they're looking at the Yates memo to find these words. They must establish experience compelled or coerced him to commit. But then the next sentence of the Yates memo says, in other words, the evidence should establish that the self-petitioner would not have committed the act of crime in the absence of the battering or extreme cruelty. Then it gives kind of a but-for test that probably obliterates the idea of again, connected to.
Again, Your Honor, I don't know sort of why it got this far.
Is there any deference, any agency deference or Chevron that's implicated by this whole issue?
I think Chevron 1 says it's ambiguous. And, of course, our argument from the beginning is that it's not ambiguous at all. We all know what connected to means, and we know the limits of connected to. The government, of course, says it is ambiguous.
But why does connected to implicate immigration policy in any way? It's not like persecution or something else mm-hmm. that would have a relationship to the agency. It's a phrase that's used everywhere.
Yeah, isn't that a sort of phrase that the courts are expert in interpreting? It's related to causation, and it's something that courts interpret all the time, but that really has nothing to do with immigration policy.
I absolutely agree. I think, as I said at the beginning, they issued a results-oriented definition, and it's how do we get another deportation checkmark, basically. That's what we're up against. In the last couple of years, and increased numbers. So if they wanted to, it's an absurd definition of connected to. No one would define connected to as something that someone compels you to do, coerces you to do, or asks you to do it on behalf of. And what's really sort of ironic with this very customized definition is it eliminates him as a victim. Because if she turned, instead of punching the mistress, and she punched him, it would have been absurd because he wouldn't encourage it or ask her to punch me in the nose. But they've so defined this that that the abuser himself could get defined.
That could be compelling. But I know you've got a lot more time left, but I know we understand your argument. And I'm kind of anxious to hear what Mr. Stewart's response is.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. I'm Scott Stewart on behalf of the Attorney General. I'd submit,
you,
Your Honor.
You're a remand, but you want us to remand it. Why?
Because the word connected to, the phrase connected to, is ambiguous, Your Honor. It is one of those words of potentially, or very expansive, potentially indeterminate meaning.
Connected to is indeterminate.
Yes, Your Honor.
And anything that's indeterminate is ambiguous?
Not necessarily, Your Honor. What I'm getting at here is that the word connected to here arises in the context of an exception to a general rule barring this sort of cancellation of removal. So it comes up in a context of the good moral character context where the board, immigration judges, are frequently called upon to administer a good character type analyses, and they need to consider just other areas about, somebody has a criminal conviction, how does the general barring...
How does that tie in with the meaning of the word connected to?
Well, Your Honor, the Supreme Court has recognized that when faced with these broad terms, related to, in connection with, those kinds of terms, and I would submit that connected to is a similar kind of term, you have a problem where the term could encompass anything. That's probably heightened here because we have an exception.
What's the problem? What's the problem with that? And that's what Congress meant.
It's possible that Congress could mean that, Your Honor, but the Supreme Court has pointed to the need to look not just to the bare language, but to make sure when you have a very broad definition like that, you also look to the structure of the act, the context of the act.
Which I think we agree with, but that doesn't render it ambiguous. And indeed, in this, I think the supplemental letter that the appellant sent pointed out that in this very statute, they can use the word substantially connected to, and then in another area, limited the temporal connection of something. So if we're looking at the context, the fact that Congress knew how to limit in connections in other areas points to the fact that connected to here has its ordinary meaning, and it doesn't require a substantial connection, doesn't require a temporal connection. And as Judge Roth points out, we interpret related to, connected to, in accordance with, all these terms, we do that all the time.
the court does interpret those kinds of terms, Your Honor. What I'm submitting here, though, is that this does arise in the context of an agency who has
no more expertise in interpreting statutes. In fact, if there's any life left whatsoever to Marbury versus Madison, they have less expertise in interpreting statutes than Article III courts of the law do. I know the BIA does not agree with that proposition. We've been down that road before. But I think that's still the structure of the way the jurisprudential system works.
Well, what I would suggest, Your Honor, is that the Immigration and Nationality Act, it is a very broad, it is a very complex statute. This is not a statute that this particular provision that's gotten much airing in the court.
All the cases that talk about why we have to defer to the expertise of the BIA as an agency talk about the unique problems involved with international relations, the unique problems of immigration, and the kinds of things that are endemic to those kinds of complexities. Here we're just talking about whether or not somebody's action was connected to a history of abuse. That's it. Now, that to me is more amenable to a family court's expertise maybe than the BIA's, but it's totally consistent with the kinds of things we do all the time.
Your Honor, I would emphasize that the Supreme Court has recognized that this is a potentially, this kind of term is the sort of thing that can be hard to define, and in this context where you usually have an agency that gives it the first run, where no court has opined on it, and where...
Well, if we're at a point where a court of law has to wait for an agency to tell us what the word connected to means, we are in deep doo-doo here.
I don't think so, Your Honor. I mean, that's sort of the underlying understanding of what, you know, if there were a phrase that the court had already decided were ambiguous, that would be a situation
where
it would make sense.
Well, can we look to Webster's or to Black's Law or to American Heritage Dictionary? Would those be appropriate sources for us to look to, or should we wait and let the BIA read it and tell us what the BIA thinks Webster's and the American Heritage Dictionary and Black's Law Dictionary should tell us?
I mean, Your Honor can certainly look at those. What we think those show, however, is that there is a permissible, you know, there are alternative options for
how to construe
the phrase.
Let's look at the alternatives. Okay. One, under American Heritage Dictionary, to join or fasten together, to unite, to associate, to consider as related. Black's Law Dictionary, something that is associated as in an occurrence or an idea to combine, to unite, to link together, to establish a bond or relation between the two as if connected to or joined, as in junction.
And we don't see encourage, induce, compel, or coerce in any way, shape, or form in any of those definitions.
Your Honor,
where did that come from? That's all right.
No.
Where did those concepts come from, that's what connected to had to mean?
I mean, I think that was the brief attempt by the agency to try to make sense of it, and I agree it merits further fleshing out, Your Honor.
Is that from the Yates memo?
There is some of the kind of, I believe Your Honor quoted some of it earlier, the compel language, but also the but-for type language, which, again, I think does counsel.
But-for is extremely broad.
It is extremely broad, Your Honor. What I'd emphasize.
You can have but-for without any real connection.
Exactly, Your Honor. In response to Judge McKee's point, and I think kind of a number of the questions here. I mean, just looking at some of those definitions, there's a difference between something being conjoined and something being associated or in a relationship with. I mean, you know, it's, you know, to take the kind of hip bone example, I mean, you know, two bones may be conjoined, but like two very separate bones, not conjoined, may be in a relationship. And it's...
I'm so sorry you ever started on that road. No, we're talking about bones being in a relationship.
What I'm suggesting, Your Honor, is that there is a difference between conjoined, a taut, tight relationship on the one hand, and or a taut, tight nexus on one hand,
well,
and a broader relationship.
Well, then you could say substantial connection. And this statute does use that term in another section. So if they wanted to make it substantial connection, i.e., you know, actually attached or conjoined, they could have said substantial connection, but they said connected to.
Correct, Your Honor, but that...
At one point, you asked for summary affirmance in this case, right?
The government did it before the Board of Immigration Appeals, Your Honor.
And at that point, yes, at that point, you had no problem with the definition of connected to. Obviously, or you wouldn't have asked for summary affirmance. And, you know, I find it difficult to give credence to your explanations now of why you're trying to define connected to, when at one point in the beginning of this case, you found that there was no problem at all with connected to.
Your Honor, I understand the point. The Department of Homeland Security did request summary affirmance before the agency. The Department of Justice then took over the case at the petition for review stage, and you know the evaluation was made. Like, look, this is a difficult, you know, as we've explained in our motion to remand to the court, this is an issue that warrants more of a look. This connected to is not defined in the BIA. It's not the subject of a board decision. It's not gotten a good judicial exegesis. And looking at those kinds of things, Your Honor, we made the evaluation that it would be just a better, sounder way to administer and go about this that for the court to remand so the agency could have a better look at this ambiguous phrase. We didn't mean anything, you know, disingenuous or anything about that, but that was the evaluation and you know, perhaps...
If we find it unambiguous, we don't have to worry about all.
Right? If the court finds it unambiguous and rules against us, we kind of are where we are, I think, Your Honor. But I would suggest, even still, if the court were not to, for the reasons we've given, and I think both the immigration judge and the Board of Immigration Appeals gave, you know, reasons why this would not fall into the connected to definition.
I'm struggling to understand why it wouldn't. How in the world is her striking out at her husband's mistress, especially under these circumstances, not related to the underlying adulterous conduct?
Your Honor, the problem with that question is that it assumes the very broad, boundless view of connected to that we've submitted.
No, it doesn't. It means that she was the victim of extreme cruelty, and the extreme cruelty caused her to strike out at the object of the source of the cruelty.
And the IJ specifically said this. It is a result of her anger toward her husband's infidelity, and they found that the victim of extreme cruelty was based upon is his infidelity. So the IJ basically found the facts
of
the connection.
Your Honor, I don't think that's right. At AR-93, I think the IJ was a little bit broader in the overall facts that were around there, and I think then when we got to the actual event, the September 2014 day, as both elements of the agency emphasized, look, the husband, he wasn't actually there. He didn't tell her to go meet this person. He didn't encourage her. He didn't compel her. He didn't coerce her. All these things that you could see drawing a connection with the ultimate crime. He didn't assault her. He didn't direct her to assault the person. There was this attenuation in time where, you know, this was kind of a drawn out event.
Why did she do what she did?
Your Honor,
she's having a bad hair day, maybe?
And Your Honor, at some point she, in the record, she says, look, you know, I just have, I believe it's at page, you know, at different pages, she said, like, you know, I have anger, my mother wasn't there, this was, you know, I had a long history of just kind of bad
abuse
relationships.
But she specifically found that her anger was the result. So how, if that's not you're saying that's not a connection?
Your Honor, we would say that in the alternative that it does not meet the requirement of connected to. It just isn't the sort of tight enough thing to meet an exception to a strong presumptive general bar. But I would suggest that the court would benefit still from the elucidation by the agency.
Let me say, if my husband had taken a mistress and I found out about her, I would have punched her in the nose, and it would have been connected to my reaction to my husband doing that.
Your Honor, I think we all appreciate the terrible difficulty of the situation here. I would note that the immigration judge and, you know, through the course of the testimony said, look, you know, I can see that you have remorse. You know, he noted for the record that she was tearing up at, you know, at least, you know, one or other point. She understood that the immigration judge, I believe there were two of them at different points, you know, recognized, you know, sympathy, acknowledged the problem. So we don't diminish that at all. We take the point, Your Honor. What we're just
take
saying
the point that it's not connected to the abuse and the adultery.
I think we take the point about the visceral reaction we all share to the conduct of the petitioner's husband, Your Honor. What I'm saying is that we have here this important question of law. My friend does acknowledge that it's important. In his letter brief, he also acknowledges that connected
maybe
to
maybe it's too important to be left to an agency. Maybe a court of law should decide it.
Your Honor, I don't doubt that this court of law will ultimately get the point, but I mean, that's under Chevron and agency principles, agencies take the first view of these things.
Agencies take the first definition when you're dealing with a common word that has a common understanding and is not found to be ambiguous by the court. We don't get to the agency, do we?
I take the point when you have an unambiguous word, the court is in the first instance able to decide that, Your Honor. I would just hit the point that we tried to bring across in our letter brief, that we deal here with one of those very, very potentially broad phrases that can be defined, you know, any of a number of ways: matters of degree, matters of different kinds of causation, different degrees of relationship. And when you have that in an overall complex statutory scheme that an agency does have significant experience in interpreting, I would submit that the prudent and best thing to do here, especially without...
How does the agency have significant experience in interpreting connected to?
Because...
They seem to, in this case, have required connected to be compelled.
It gets to the point, Your Honor, that as the Supreme Court has said, when you have one of these broad phrases, you make sure you're not reading the phrase too broadly. You look at the statutory structure. You may look at its objectives. You look at other provisions.
If it's a broad phrase, you read it broadly, right?
I think it's a question of how broadly you may read it, and that can be a question of structure, context, objectives of the statute, and those are the kinds of things, Your Honor, that I would suggest are key areas of expertise, institutional knowledge, and understanding for the agency.
Institutional knowledge to find out what connect means.
Your Honor.
What would have been a sufficient connection here? If she witnessed his infidelity, what would satisfy you as to the connection here?
Your Honor, I can't commit to something, but if I can suggest maybe some other considerations, it's, you know, we have here a third party. I think the agency could potentially opine, you know, how do things change depending on who, say, an act is committed on? How close does the abuser need to be? I'm just hesitant to kind of step into the agency when we have just kind of this vacuum of areas.
I'm trying to figure out what's missing here that could kind of have an aha moment of, oh, that's the connection we need.
Understood. Can I make one or two sentences just to close that loop?
Why don't you do one and then your light is on?
Understood, Your Honor.
I think you can kind of sense that we're not overwhelmed by your logic here.
Understood, Your Honor. I would emphasize the points in our briefs, and to the extent the court has any doubt, I think it would just confirm the benefit of remanding to get the agency's take, and the court would still have an opportunity.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Griffin, you really don't. Are you serious?
Do you
really want to say anything else?
I would just ask the court not to remand.
Okay,
I think
thank
they
you.
Were on the...
No. We understand your argument. You're resting on your brief, and we understand that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take the matter under advisement.